Call the meeting to order.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Center Community Committee Public Hearings. I'm Councilor Jenny Gervasi, and with me tonight is Councilor Harvey Smith. I suppose we need to begin. No, we don't. Okay. Our clerk, Josie Marcus, is with us tonight, and we have two planners here, Mr. Glenn Doney and Michael Robbins.
So all persons who wish to speak or receive notice of the hearing body's decision or recommendation must fill out this form and submit it to me as soon as possible. Copies of this form are available just outside. No, you have to register for each meeting. You have time to just run out. She's got some pre-filled out forms.
Pretty demanding, isn't she?
In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process the committee will follow is that the applicant will be heard first, followed by those in support of the application. Next, those registered in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return if he, she so desires and speak in rebuttal. It's very important to note that when your name is called, this is your opportunity to speak. However, you are not obligated to do so. This is the public hearing process brochure, copies of which are available at the registration table. This brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after a public hearing. As information, all public hearings are digitally recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department at the number listed in the brochure. Item 1 is a subdivision and rezoning for 924 Dorchester Avenue under file DASZ19 of 2008. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time, namely, Item 2, an application for a variance under file DAV118517 of 2008D, and Item 3, an application for demolition under file DEMO118647 2008.
There's two of you listed as the applicants.
Yes,
your camera. Whoever wishes to come forward to represent the applicants.
Perfect. So I guess since our last meeting, we're going to have to go back and speak with the members of the community. We held a meeting at Crescent Community Center. Dudley was present, and along with other associates from Prairie Architects. Got to address the concerns, namely parking and design, and at that meeting, in specific design. We spoke to the neighbors and thought that part of the issue was that the integrity of the building wasn't matching the characteristics of the neighboring building. So Dudley should talk about those things that we decided to do.
Okay. I think we have a handout for you, but I think you can maybe see from here.
Do you guys not have copies?
I don't have a nice color folder.
Here,
we have it here. So I just
passed
over.
Here we go. So what we've done since the last meeting, we met with the residents, and a number of the issues concerned, and what we had is we had this building. Shown on the streetscape, this is to the same scale as the buildings beside it. Mm-hmm. And I think some of their concern was just that at that time it was at grade, so there was no porch. And so I just sketched on a little porch, and if it has a porch, then are we starting to get close? Yeah, that was a good step. So now we have a porch. Also, there wasn't some kind of a canopy over the entrance, and a lot of houses on the street had a boulder entrance canopy, so we've shown one here. I think there was also some concern. We had three doors going in, making it look more like a triangle. triplex or something. And so we reduced it to one door, so it looks more just like a normal house on the street. Also, we've changed the texture of materials, making it more horizontal. And I think as we looked on the street, many of the houses have horizontal, the houses are broken up, so there's either cedar shakes or shingles on one level, stucco on another level. So it's more horizontal, so we have a masonry on the lower level and siding on the upper level. I think the other thing was a fence. There are a number of fences on the street, just to give it some kind of a presence on the corner. So combining a fence and a hedge. Those are the main things on the front elevation, and on the side elevation, there was some concern that it was basically just this low box thing. And so what we looked at agreed to do was to split it up. So on the front part we have with a full basement and it's raised up porch level about 4 feet. So the top height is different. We split it down the middle so that there's a separation between the buildings so that it's not just one long thing. And also we looked at a hedge and some fence along the side as well. So I think from a design point of view, those are the elements that we looked at to respond to what the community had to say. And I guess the other issue is parking, and I'll
So the next issue being parking. So we've got an initial before the last meeting, we stated that we had an agreement with Leonetti's right directly behind it during their non-business hours, and we were told that that's fine for that during that time for guest parking and things of that nature. But then we were to go and search and find two more stalls, and we're actually able to have an agreement, and the letter of intent is in here with the property right next door to us, and they have agreed to let us. Currently, they have two parking stalls in their back, off the back of their home. They said we can develop two more stalls right next to it, directly adjacent to the property line. So, and we thought this is a great opportunity to create stalls for our building. So now we would have combined six stalls there and actually meet the requirement of 1.5 stalls per unit. And also, we're not taking stalls away from anybody else, because I knew coming into this that the arguments against us were going to be, well, okay, yeah, you got a parking stall, but it's a block away. Nobody's going to use it, right? That's too far away in the middle of winter. Then the other argument is, well, yeah, you've got a stall next to us, but you're taking a stall that somebody else is going to be using. Now they're going to be parking on the street, and they're just doing it for the money. So, well, no, we're actually, our agreement is to create two brand new stalls where there were no stalls before. And their agreement is going to be with the condo corporation of our building and the individuals next door themselves. So you, again, won't have a concern where somebody says, well, yeah, who owns those stalls and what happens to those? What if that person moves and they own it and they're not happy anymore? It's, the agreement will be.
Have these, the location or the size and everything of these stalls been discussed with the planning department at all at this point?
Well, we've been working with them. We have submitted a parking plan. We're working with Lynn, the zoning officer, for this. These stalls will have to meet the requirement of 8 feet by, 28 foot linear dimension. So you either 20 feet by 8 feet or 18 feet by 10 feet. Is that correct?
We haven't received a parking management plan yet. So actually, I looked at the information I have. I don't have the information pertaining to the adjacent property. So that's going to be dealt with.
That can be dealt with
through public service.
Yeah, and it's an issue. Parking management plan is 100% an issue where we won't get our permit unless we have an appropriate parking management plan. It doesn't matter what we get here. Mm-hmm. If it's a situation where, okay, you guys, we're not satisfied with this plan, you're not getting your permit, you're not building anything.
Thank you. Counselor, is there anything else you wanted to add at this point?
Those were the major concerns.
Thank you very much, and you'll have the opportunity to come back and rebuttal to anything that's Byron, did you wish to say anything? No? Okay. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in support of this application? Hearing none, we'll move to those in opposition. And I don't know if you're in any particular order. If you'd agreed that somebody wants to go first. John?
Yes. Okay.
Are you in here?
With Sylvia. I will try to respond to what has gone on and where we're at now. The bottom line is I don't believe that Dobie Properties, I know Dobie Properties is doing their best to help us with some basic characteristics such as the design, the new design, which I commend them that if they actually follow through on, it would be quite lovely. However, there's no guarantee in that, and I'll address that in a moment. And I do appreciate the fact that they had a public consultation with us on that and brought in Prairie Architects to help us visualize some of the ideas that we had. But again, that's all nice and dandy, but the bottom line crux of the whole matter is density. It has nothing to do with all this stuff. It really, you can make it flim-flam as you want. A four-unit condo to an RMF increases the density of our neighborhood to an extent that has a spillover effect. For example, a classic, great example is the willingness to pave over a backyard to put a parking lot. This is now coming down our street. This beautiful walnut tree will have to go because it's in the way of that parking lot. So they're not getting the fact it's encroaching because it has to, because you're filling up that density in an area which I don't believe can handle that density well. It can. But we're all going to have to pay the price down the block. So that's why I still believe that we're not trying to be unreasonable.
But tell me, the density is just slightly increased over what you like from 3 to 4.
3 to 4, but look at how the spill, that's right, it is a balancing point. 3 would mean that they wouldn't have to do a parking lot change. They could accommodate with the Lion Eddy quite easily. You're looking at 3, maybe 4 cars. That would actually lower the building block space he needs to build can be smaller. So now we don't have the building going all the way up to the back lane almost and blocking off that view. He won't have to rip down those trees in the backyard. They can have a smaller footprint. Again, I would personally, my personal belief is I would like to say an R1, maybe allow a duplex. But I'm trying to compromise, and we are trying to compromise, and we understand there's economies of scale that Dobie Properties needs to muster. And we don't want a vacant lot there forever. So even though I'd rather have 2, I'd rather actually say in here, 1, a single unit family. The building, the house, if it can be salvaged, that's not up to me to say, but my preference is to keep it an R1. However, I'm willing, because of a willingness to work with people and change, that a 3 would be possible and the impact would be nominal on the rest of the block. 4, you start creeping quite quickly, i.e., you need to pave over a backyard. It's a classic example in a block that's already very congested in that corner. So that's why I was okay with, not that I wanted a 3-unit, that's a compromise on my behalf. So I understand life is full of compromise. I'd rather have a single unit. So that's where I stand on that one. So in overall, that's why we oppose it. I do, again, appreciate the redesign. The safety concerns have not been really addressed. It still will be a problem in that back corner with all the care home, the Lionetti, the duplex. Where he's suggesting to put this unit, this is an R1 home. They're not supposed to be 2 units in there. We have called the enforcement branch to notify them that this house here is supposed to be a single family.
The house next door you're talking
the
about?
The one that this K&P Properties is willing to convert into a parking lot. No kidding they are. They're not supposed to be. Now that will then again start precedent. Who's going to buy a single family house with a parking lot in the backyard? Well, no one will. I guess now it will be more of a duplex. So again, that encroachment factor has happened.
Are you saying it's not properly supposed to be a duplex?
When I talked to the enforcement officer already, they told me it's an R1. And they put it on their list to go check. But we do know that it's being used as a duplex.
We'd have to research it to find out how it got established.
Yeah, maybe there may be some background stuff, but right now there isn't any more information I have than it's supposed to be an R1.
That would have been nice to know. Any questions, Councillor Smith?
No.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I see it's a two-family dwelling, and I recall, Councillor, that the area was, much of the area was R2, and then a zoning rationalization was done and was changed to R1.
So it may have been permitted and grandfathered or something.
Yeah.
Probably won't. Oh, but, well, you'll get a chance to come. Would you like to come up next? It looks like you had something to say, so let's make it official.
I wasn't invited to the meeting. I'm not complaining. I didn't get a chance to go to the discussion. I'm always in favor of striking a compromise, not because I think compromise is always a good thing, but the way things are, sometimes it's easier on everybody if you have some sort of compromise. My understanding is there's very little budge on the other side on this. I mean, there's some stuff on the aesthetics, but there was a big issue with the neighbors had with the zoning, if you recall at the last meeting, was it July. The house next door, and if you're offloading parking, this is a big mistake, because the house next door is actually also a candidate for one of these conversions. It used to be the Dorchester Co-op. And the rationalization you're talking about actually took place in 1950. There was no comprehensive zoning bylaw in the old city of Winnipeg until 1950. And that bylaw was 16502 at the time. There was a decision made that east of Stafford was zoned R2, which some of it still is. And west of Stafford was zoned R1. So there were a number of non-conforming rooming houses. I mean, I used to door knock, 30 years ago, and you'd have 10, 15 doorbells on some of the bigger houses. I mean, there's a lot of units in them. Almost all of them have gone back. This particular house was essentially what you would call a group home. It wasn't a duplex. It was the Dorchester Co-op, and it was a co-op, and they sold out. It's been owned by several people, among them Dorchester Developments. It's been an office. There was a business being run out of there illegally, and as far as I understand, it's not supposed to be a duplex, but these are things that I know how this works, so we'll see what comes out of it. But that's the history of that lot. But you've got at least two properties on both sides of Dorchester, the two properties on the corner going to McMillan, and one property beside what used to be a CIBC on Grosvenor that are all candidate for this kind of development. And so if we start increasing to 4 units and offloading parking because there's not enough parking, you're going to create a big headache. I thought 3 would have been a reasonable compromise personally, but again, I wasn't part of the discussion. I have some concerns to address the demolition permit. Is that okay to go on to that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Gordie Howe development. I mean, essentially, if there's no approval here, I mean, if there's an approval of some kind here, the demo permit would issue when the plan is filed. There's a process for that.
Yeah.
In this case, if there's no approval, then this demolition permit essentially will leave a vacant lot until some understanding is reached, which means, in other words, if this development is turned down completely and then the demo permit is allowed, because there's no development application, you have a vacant lot in the corner. That's going to be a big problem because it will attract other interested development. There's going to be more meetings. The neighbors are going to have to come out. So I wouldn't be in favor of having the home demolished until there's some agreement reached. Now, of course, it's obviously within your prerogative to reach an agreement here, and then the demo permit would issue naturally. And I'm also concerned that if you decide, whatever you decide to do with the demo permit, aside from the decision on the zoning and the development application, that there, as the zoning is working its way through through the different levels of the committees up to council, if the demo permit will be appealed, if the demo permit gets decided on and it doesn't correspond with the development application, so that there's suppose you turn the development application down and you either approve or turn down the demo permit. That permit, it will be appealed. They'll appeal it if it goes against them. The residents will appeal it if it goes against them. And we won't be able to discuss the relevant issues to the demo permit until the zoning application clears council. So I would hope that if you decide, when you get around to it, to turn down the development application, that whatever you decide with the demo permit in that case, that the appeal be put off until after the zoning application clears council, because otherwise we'll be handicapped in terms of our ability to discuss it.
You've thought of everything.
Yeah. Well, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw it, because I, as you know, most of the applications that I deal with are in a part of town where people are being crowded all the time, trying to crowd people out. And to me, this is just a way of trying to put pressure on the neighbors, and I don't like it. But I understand that that's partly the way the game is played. Now, if you're of a mind to impose a compromise, I have some suggestions. I mean, I'm prepared to back my neighbors up in having them refusal. They understand that it will mean there's going to be an appeal. They understand that they will appeal the demo permit. They understand that. And they also understand that there will be more applications that they have to deal with. But they said that, barring the compromise, that they're prepared to oppose it and live with that. If you decided to compromise where there was no agreement reached and to approve 3, you can't actually approve 3 here because there's no conditional use posted. You could approve 2. I think we discussed this at the last meeting. you can approve a lesser zoning to R2. We discussed the
application is made for multiple family, so R2 could be...
R2 could be decided on, and then what would happen is, in order to get additional units, they would have to apply for a conditional use permit. Now, this will be a development agreement. You could actually limit the number of units that they could have. So if you wanted to say 3, you could have that as part of the zoning agreement. Then they would still have to go to the Board of Adjustment to get a conditional use permit and have site plan approval back here.
Just to clarify a few things, I'm quite certain there was a rationalization done more recently than 1950. I believe it was in the 70s. And
I've lived here since before then, excuse me.
Yeah, I'll look for it when I get back to the office. 928 Dorchester, the city of Winnipeg knows it's a duplex. That's how it's shown in their database. And the demo, I'm not certain that it can be appealed. I believe it's like another recommendation of community committee.
We'll double check on that.
I did appeals before.
And a zoning agreement can be attached, of course, to any rezoning, and the number of units could be capped as one of the conditions.
Yeah, a demolition permit can be appealed, and it's heard by the Standing Policy Committee.
Yes.
Just to clarify. Okay, I'm just confused. So just to clarify with you, if for some reason we decided to say they could only build 3, what would happen? Can we just do that, or are you saying there has to be another process if we made a change?
No, you could add that as a condition, counselor, to the zoning agreement.
Okay.
They'd still have to apply for a conditional use permit, but that would go to the Board of Adjustment.
Well, if the rezoning would be to R2, however,
yes.
R2 allows a greater density than RMFS. You could get 7 dwelling units on the site in R2. Whereas with RMFS, you can only get 4.
Yeah. So whatever you know, I like the use table, the accessory use table in R2 better than I do in the RMF.
Okay,
so
you guys are talking in Greek here. Could you just explain what zoning would be, what we would have to do if we decided to say 3? What zoning would you recommend?
RMFS.
And would that require another hearing?
No.
We can recommend 3 in that zoning, and that would solve, if that's what we wanted to do. And
yeah,
I'm being premature. I'm just trying to understand what the rules are.
And then a condition would be added to the zoning agreement saying no more than 3.
No more than 3. So
yeah.
You could have that zoning and say no more than 3.
Yeah, and then there wouldn't be no need for
conditional
use here.
Then there wouldn't be another conditional use.
And
that's what I was trying to clarify.
Yeah, and if they wanted to get more than 3 dwelling units, they'd have to apply for a zoning agreement amendment. And
yes,
back here.
Okay.
The only other point would be that the only reason I'm mentioning R2 is because if you look in your zoning table, in your bylaw, there's an accessory use table, right? And there are also other uses that are compatible with the zoning. The R2 is actually more favorable to the neighborhood than the RMF. So you could substitute the accessory and the other uses from the R2 if you were going to do RMF.
Okay, well, we can figure those things out.
But I mean, the planners are first, so they know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And I'm sure he's fishing out his bylaws up there. I did bring mine with me.
Okay. Do you have anything else, Fred?
Anything else?
Any other questions, Councilor Smith? Thank you, Fred. I just realized, John, you had Sylvia DeSalsa. Did you want to be speaking as well? Because we're on a separate sheet here.
Okay.
Please come forward then.
I agree with all the points that my husband John has made.
Okay.
I just want to narrow down 2 things. One is, on the final design, I'm happy with it as well, but I want this committee to have the final approval on the design. I want it to come back to this committee. My concern is that we have this beautiful design, but the end product will not be that beautiful design. So I want to have a hammer to make sure that Dobie Properties does what they've shown us today.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just check with planning.
Yeah.
Would the plan approval come back here according to the way it's worded there?
It can.
It can or
it
would.
Or it depends on what the condition
is. That
condition
in there
worded.
Now is what I'm asking?
Presently, it's just to go to the director of planning, property, and development.
But we could
you
add
could,
a condition
could add
to
it
have
to
it come
the
back
city
to the
center
community committee if we so chose.
Thank
yeah.
you. For that. And then my next point is with respect to parking, my understanding is that the, under the current design, there could be five spots on this 924 Dorchester. I'm not happy with the concrete driveway that they're planning to build next door. It is an illegal property. My husband phoned. They told him on the phone that it's an R1. Before the people that were there currently, it was an R1, so it's illegal. There's a big old, about 100-year-old walnut tree there. I would hate to see that tree be cut down. My understanding is that tree has got prized from the city of Winnipeg. I would not want to see that tree cut down, so I'm not happy with the parking. And my next point is with respect to Fred's point on the R2, I would prefer to see an R2 designation instead of an RMFS because of the accessory use and because I want to have, when people look at the map on the computer, I want to see an R2, not an RMFS, because of precedent purpose reasons. My final point on the parking, I'd like this parking management plan to come before this committee as well and have that to be approved by this committee instead of not having it outside of it.
The clerk is indicating.
No, it's a delegated authority to the director, so it's not something that this committee can make a decision on. I think I would have to check with legal, but I believe it could be made a condition of the zoning agreement.
I'd prefer that.
But could it be made a condition that it has to come back here? Like, if we delegate authority, can we take that authority back?
I could answer that.
Just trying to clarify what we can
do. The director has been delegated authority to make decisions on those plans or those parking management approvals. Now, if they don't get a parking management, if the department says no, they would need a variance application that would then go, because it's prior to the
plan approval could be.
Plan approval, we could definitely make an amendment to add that in.
Okay. All right.
And then on the demolition permit, I agree with Fred. I would not want to see a vacant property as we're waiting for the zoning to go through. That is the entrance of our street. It would just be hideous. It would be not very nice. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Zoan Newton? Would you wish to speak?
First, I'd like to agree with everything that's already been said in opposition to this. I think it really would be a bad precedent to put this as multifamily. I think it should be zoned as a two household. The idea that the plan has this lovely fence and hedge is immaterial because if the people who buy the properties don't decide they don't want to have a hedge, or they don't want to have a fence, it's gone. And the fact that it's on the plan, however decorative, is neither here nor there. I really would not like to see a vacant lot there for the possibilities of things like fly tipping in a community with small children. So I would really be very opposed to having the house demolished without a clear idea and a swift plan for getting something else on that site. And I'm horrified at the idea they're going to cut down the trees that are on this lot and concrete it over. That's bad enough. Cutting down a tree further down the street, and a large tree at that, and a tree that isn't going to get Dutch elm disease, is a dreadful idea.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Bruce Hildebrand?
I'm here to support the argument.
Okay. Thank you. We'll record to you. Eleanor Bond.
I guess I'd like to agree with many of the points that have been brought up, but as I mentioned at the last meeting, there are only 20 houses in this block, so it's a very fragile kind of island within a lot of traffic flow on Stafford and Harrow on one side, and Cord and Grosvenor on the other. I think, as it's been pointed out already, it's not only this house at issue. There are at least four at that end of the block. And since I'm at the other end of the block, I can agree that there are also address the point that there are a number closer to Harrow as well, which if a precedent is set and sort of more than two units are possible, could go the same way. I also have Harrow Apartments behind me, which is quite a large unit condo complex now. It used to be apartments, and I can attest to the sort of shifts that take place when you have so much traffic and so many bodies and garbage and so on at that point. So again, I would much prefer and I would hope that R2 would be the zoning that would be appropriate there so that the others could not go up. I agree with everything said about parking. I respect the fact that Prairie Architects and the developers did listen to our concerns at the community meeting and that they have amended their plans. I still have some design issues, but I know this is not about design necessarily here or surface materials. I guess my big point is that there is already so much pressure on this block, and I think we have to do everything possible to sort of maintain the residential and single family or duplex quality that is already there and not open this up for a great deal of development.
Can I just ask you, some of the earlier delegations said that they would be willing to compromise as far as three. You sound like you're talking two.
I would certainly prefer two. I guess I imagine two is not very interesting at all for development. I guess if it comes down to, I guess three would certainly be more preferable to four.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
I just want to mention, Councillor, that one of the standard plan approval conditions is that for the development of any accessory parking, the plan shall be submitted to the director and the community committee for approval. We've had that clause in a number of zoning agreements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The plan approval.
Plan approval, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, thanks. Pat Kortnich and Don, you wish to speak?
I live next door to the proposed new parking lot, and the tree is actually an oak tree, which is over 100 years old. And I have to cut down an elm, so I know that what a difference cutting down a beech tree makes. So I wouldn't like to see that tree go. Plus, I will be faced with the view, the open view of this huge building that's going in from my yard. It will certainly impact on us. And our life has already been impacted by the increase of traffic in the back lane and the activity that happens in the back lane from not so much Leonetti's, but the group home and the rental property next door to us. So I can't imagine that a four-unit property wouldn't have a huge impact on our lives in terms of noise and traffic.
Okay, is there anybody else registered in opposition who did not? Don?
Yeah. Just some notes, I guess, that I've made here through the discussions. Number one, about 928 and the zoning issue, I noted that the planner indicated the city knows it's a duplex, and I just want to indicate that that doesn't necessarily mean that it is compliant. So it is our opinion that it is non-compliant, but I guess that will be determined. I have a question about the demolition permit, and if the demolition is allowed to go forward, what is the extent of that demolition? Does it mean clearing the site? Does it mean taking down the building or the garage or all of the landscaping, all of the existing trees, etc.? Because it's my opinion that there's probably at least four mature pine, oak, and elm in the back of that property. I'd like to know if they are going to be removed if a demolition permit is issued.
Okay.
They could.
Well, anybody can cut down a tree on private property.
absolutely no regulation.
Okay, well, so, that, although so if they wanted to go out and do it right now, they could. If they
some of us tried and we were called Nazis, I believe.
Well, okay, so...
tried to protect trees.
So then, if that's the regard, if that's the situation, then the only other point to that is that if a demolition permit is issued and the developer goes ahead and does a demolition and the site clearing, obviously that they would have a greater investment in this property, and I'm sure that that would come up very shortly in any further applications to develop the property. They're going to be digging themselves in a little and have a greater commitment to the development. So obviously I would oppose any demolition, particularly if it's a wide open, go in there with a shovel and an axe and chop everything down. I think that the part of that idea though, and I don't know if the developer is intending to clear the site and all the trees, but I think it does show a certain insensitivity on behalf of the developer. I don't think that he, I don't know that he's been to the site to recognize the damage that would be done to the neighborhood by removal of all of the trees that exist there along with the property. But certainly on the 928 where the oak is, that would really be be another rape of our neighborhood by taking out more and more trees at a time when we are, as a society, trying to preserve that. And it actually speaks volumes to this being a green development, the idea this is a green development, to continue to cut down more and more trees. And the little planting that is going to be afforded on the landscaping just would never, in 1,000 years, substitute for what is there right now. So I think there's a certain, I think that the developers, application to take over property on 928 and to go ahead with a demolition permit and to not move away from the density of a four unit all show a total insensitivity and lack of caring what the rest of the neighborhood thinks about the whole damn thing. With respect to since there seems to be some discussion as to whether the parking plan would come back to this committee, I realize that the request has been made by Sylvia. If it, our letter indicates that we could possibly see a two or a three unit in here. If that parking plan does not come back here, then I would suggest that I'd revoke that agreement to a two or a three and I'd go back to only a single family dwelling, because parking is one of the biggest issues, and safety. I'll repeat what I said the last time about parking. If this goes ahead, within the first two houses, there will be no less than 16 cars available to be parked in that alley. And the other part of that is that...
How did you get 16 cars?
Well, because there's right, okay, right now we have Leonetti's, they've got four.
Oh.
Yeah, the whole thing, yeah, that's right on the other side of backyards of McMillan. We've got Leonetti's, we've got the group home. Beside us right now, there's three cars in there, and they're talking about going up to five, and then whatever they put on their property. So that's within the first two lots of Stafford, on two sides of that alley. I guess the other part of that that complicates it just a touch is that John is the only has the only garage on the street that is entered from Dorchester. All of the other traffic, all of the other garages in the alley behind. Between McMillan and Dorchester, have rear yard garages accessed off of the alley. So there's a lot of traffic up and down that alley, and this would just compound it. And that's about it. So I'm
okay.
Certainly against it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Is there anybody else registered who, in opposition, would like to speak? Hearing none, the applicant can return back to rebut. To any of the things that have been said here? No new information, please, unless it's relevant to what's been said here.
So, well, first thing, as far as the parking management plan is concerned, we have no issue with that becoming, you know, part of the application attached somehow, because same with the integrity of the design, like we are committed to, and that's one of the issues I know we originally had. The neighbors have been saying, well, how can we hold this to you, you to this? And we have no issue whatsoever with somehow having this be bound to this design and bound to the parking plan, which has to obviously be approved. One thing that we definitely can also do is we want to only do four stalls in behind and two next door, just so it's not so congested, but we can fit five in that in the back lane, because it is a 50-foot lot, and just do one stall next door and not damage the oak tree.
So you're saying you could do this without damaging that tree?
Yeah, we could leave the tree and do one stall, and that would all be clearly seen on the management plan, which you would have to submit, which would be attached to this to show that the parking situation, because it is, you know, it's not something that, it's not a variance, it's nothing, it's a separate agenda item, is it not? Parking management plan?
Well, and you're saying that goes to the director, not to this committee, but the plan approval for the design, the design itself would come back to the committee.
But your plan approval will not have that, because we have to when we submit it.
The plan approval comes here.
Yeah.
Parking management plan is the director's.
That's right, it's internal. The plan approval, though, it does deal with accessory parking, however, it's limited to the subject land, so it does not deal with...
It wouldn't deal with the lot next door, but it would deal with the actual lot, the parking stalls on there. And so that would ensure that there was adequate room and so on for the number of stalls, all that kind of thing. Would come back here.
Yeah.
But the other issue, though, of the tree, which was obviously a big concern to people.
Yeah, which wasn't, honestly, wasn't a concern we initially anticipated, but it's something that we can work with and we're willing to react to now, saying, and you're going to see the site plan showing the stalls on site, and you're going to see the required accessory parking that we're going to need from the parking plan. You're not going to have, like the things you're saying, is you're not going to be able to use that as a final yes or no based on that, but you can at least see that, okay, they have five here. Just 1.5 per, so we do need just that one more, and we do have the conditions of being able to park across the back lane as well. I'm not sure how we can somehow attach to that plan the same, so that that everybody knows that we are doing that one stall next door.
Okay.
And if there was some way, we would surely do it.
Can you discuss the density question?
Yeah, I think we've met with the group here, and a number of the people were at the meeting, and it was very positive when the planner was there. I think we had a good session, and excuse me. I think we addressed a lot of the issues. I think that some people here have talked about the density thing as if it's almost like tenements. I mean, it's as if there's some real negative in density. And I think the city is changing. This neighborhood is changing, and it's bound to change. I mean, I think what we're proposing here is a really high quality product, and I think if you look at what's being developed here, I mean, it's the same scale as what's on the street. And I think trying to be as sensitive as we can. I mean, these aren't, in all likelihood, most of these condos are being sold to one or two people. These aren't big families we're putting in these buildings by definition. So I think density is, yes, there are more units. I think we've tried earlier to make the discussion about parking. And I think our cities are changing in that, and particularly in this neighborhood where, I mean, personally, I don't think we need six spaces, because I don't think that doesn't need to be the case. And everything is, a lot of the projects we're doing here and in Saskatoon, this is getting boring, are being downgraded to one spot per dwelling unit. But nonetheless, that being said, I think the density is here. And I think the other thing that we have here is this is a LEED building. We've completed one. We're doing a number in the city. I mean, this is a very green project for the neighborhood that it's going into. And I think it's very respectful of the scale and the quality and the type of ownership that is in the neighborhood. And so I think you can argue on both sides of that. But I think people have to look too at the other options. Like, if this doesn't go ahead, what are the other options? And there is a commercial reality out there. You can get two dwelling units, but they could be much inferior to what we're putting in here.
What about three dwelling units?
consider that?
That's,
well, as far as we did look at that, and we did look at that. The problem with that right now is the economics of the scale of building that we want to build there, of the quality of building that we want to build there. It just, it makes, it works with four, it didn't, the model does not work with three. And that's just, that's just how it works for us here. And that's what it came down to, and that's why we
wanted. So you wouldn't make a profit if it was three? You know, it's like I'm not of a lot to go on in terms of it just won't work. Like I kind of heard that.
No, and it just won't.
I've been a lot lately.
Just asking that question to you right now, I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Because it's hard to judge. Because I mean, this is a place of high property value right now. There's a lot of single family homes. It's a desirable area. I guess it isn't that much of a stretch, you know, just from my experience to consider being a triplex where it's mostly. I just want to hear why you can't.
Well, one of the questions is, in a lot of the condos we're doing, people are taking two condos and making one. So you go from two at 1,400 square feet to one at 2,800 square feet. Is that less density? Is that a difference for parking requirements? I mean, conceivably that could happen.
I guess it would be if they were combined into one space.
Maybe. But
if
it was
three, would there be less parking space required, wouldn't there? There would be one and a half each. Four and a half, which would be easily five, which is what you have without chopping down a tree. I'm not sure how you do this.
Well, we don't need to chop the tree down one way or another.
Are you saying you?
What we want to do is we want to do five on the site.
Five on the site. Okay.
And then do one next door, preserving the tree.
So you can save this tree.
Yes. Save the tree.
They're saying they can save the tree.
Yeah, and they were saying that if you come back, to verify it, you can come back to the director to see that, okay, yes, one thing we do to these buildings too is we don't demolish them, we deconstruct them. The last project we did that was similar to this on Horace, we were able to recycle over 75% of the building. Like we're not going in there with the bulldozer knocking this thing down in one day. It took 5 weeks to demolish the last one. Hammer every nail out of every board and sent it all to Palliser Furniture and
I think people have to realize too, there's no way a developer is going to demolish this because it costs money, especially to deconstruct before you've got a permit to build something back again. So I don't think it's ever going
to
happen.
There's not a desire to demolish it unless you're proceeding.
Yeah, exactly.
Which this committee might not allow anyway.
Sure.
We wouldn't really have a reason to allow a demolition unless there was something to construct. Do you have any questions, Harvey? Okay. I don't know. This is difficult because, anyways, we'll have a discussion after. No further questions, anyone? Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The difficulty is Councillor Lex's idea was that she wanted to have some support from the community. And I don't want to disregard her wishes. Her wishes were to have some community support. So I'm a little troubled with just sort of proceeding without considering the concerns. Like, I think they would be a compromise. I don't know.
It just seems to me that
it
looks good to me. Okay, I mean, I don't think the density is, you know, is that great that it causes a problem for the neighborhood in my mind. I'd be supportive of it.
I think they've certainly gone a long way with, and I know the last time a lot of it was about aesthetics, and I think they have gone a long way for the aesthetics, and I think they show a lot of credit for that. Come up with a solution on saving the tree. So, but this neighborhood, every neighborhood is different, and this neighborhood is right on the edge of my area. So I'm quite familiar with it. And it is a little bit different than some areas where you would put more density. I mean, certainly Osborne Village, and you would put lots of density in there. This is a little bit different.
Look, we're not talking about density like incredible numbers of units. I mean, we're talking that. At the meeting, they were agreeing to compromise for three. Okay, like four, like you know, like.
Well, I guess I don't understand why they couldn't build three. I mean, there's lots of money to be made in this part of town with property. It seems to me three is not, not gonna. They could do something with three, and then we'd be respecting the councilor's wishes.
Well, I mean, if
that's what I'm leaning towards, but I don't know if you are.
Did you talk to the councilor directly? How do you know this?
I got a message through her. That she wanted to heed the concerns of the neighborhood and not
disregard them, and that she would trust our judgment on it. I got the sense of that she didn't want us to just ignore the concern. You know, now if you feel the concerns have been satisfied with this,
let me tell you that this looks quite good to me. You know, like
it does look good in many ways.
It looks good. You know, like let me tell you this: any change always has people concerned. You know, one of the writers I like, Eric Hoff, that wrote a book on the ordeal of change. And any slight thing, people worry that it's going to be. They know what they have now, and they worry that it could be worse. You know, I don't think that. The density here is, to me, is not a question.
Well, there's other things in this area that you may not be, when you look at this picture, all you see is houses, but there's businesses, there's group homes, there's other things right beside. Like, I know this area, this might as well be my area because it's right next to it. And like I said, I've approved, you know, 50 unit condos in Osborne Village, but this is not the same. And I don't know what to do because if we don't agree, I don't know what happens. We have to make a decision today. What would happen if we didn't agree?
Well, I guess you could send it forward to the next meeting without a recommendation and let somebody else.
I hate to do that. I'm sorry we can't have any further discussion with closed delegations.
What would happen if we...
It would go forward. I hate for it to go forward to the property committee.
And well, what's that?
Well, I mean, I guess that's
all we can do.
Oh, okay. We did want to add community committee for plan approval as well. What would happen with that?
Well,
if we don't make a decision, we know we would lose that. You know, and okay.
Move that report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Can I just ask, all those in favor or opposed, carried? Can I just ask a question? If it does go forward without a decision, are delegations allowed?
No.
No.
This is it.
Then nobody can
even counselors can speak to it. So it's.
Because if it goes ahead anyway, support it, then we can have plan approved. No, if I were to support Councillor Smith's motion, we could make sure it comes back for plan approval.
Absolutely.
I would imagine if it goes to property committee, it would be approved. That's what I would guess. But, boy, talk about Solomon.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I don't think this is what Brenda would want. I think she'd want three.
Move that receive public representation be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
Move the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
With the amendment.
With the.
That the plan approval will also come back.
Oh, yeah, with the.
Committee.
Yeah.
Got it.
All those in favor.
All right. And the following reasons be provided. Mainly, it seems to me things are changing. It's not a great density in my mind. I think it's beautiful architecture. I think that, you know, I don't know how the neighbors don't like that because it seems to blend with the neighborhood.
Well,
and it goes along with Plan Winnipeg, and you know.
The problem is, like, I agree. It looks pretty nice from this picture. It looks very nice, but look at the side elevation.
Yeah,
it's a big building, and anyways, I'm very good. I'm going to support it because at least then we can have say over plan approval. Because it's not the property committee is going to approve this,
mm-hmm.
So I hope the people understand that why I'm doing that because I don't feel I have a choice. But mm-hmm. I think we could have compromised and got this down to three, and I think that would have been more suitable.
The public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried. Sorry.
After the public, please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council. Item 2, Councillor Smith, the variance.
I'm just trying to get it. With the report of uncovered space contains
this is my neighborhood. The community came here with compromises to go to 3 or 2.
Excuse me, sir.
Sorry.
Sorry, we can't really. We have to follow
up.
Well, you
came with us at the table.
No. Harvey, what did you do?
Report of Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
The receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
The criteria A to D of subsection 2473 of the City of Winnipeg Act Charter set up below are satisfied.
All those in favor,
A
opposed,
to
carried.
D. Aye. Recommendation of Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
All those in favor,
aye.
Opposed, carried.
Through the public hearing in respect to this application, be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried. And with thank you. Please note the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order issued by the clerk, which will be mailed to all persons registered. So this is the variance is appealable. Councilor Smith, item 3, the demolition.
Will the application be approved subject to following condition 1?
That's the recommendation.
Yeah, recommendation. The receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
The criteria of section 7 of the demolition permit and residential area bylaw number 4665/87 are satisfied.
All those in favor,
aye.
Opposed, carried.
That the recommendation of Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
All those in favor,
aye.
Opposed, carried.
The public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried. Please note that the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order issued by the clerk, which will be mailed to all persons registered.